He's going to take care of all that one day. And you know what? You'll be at home. You know, there just sometimes isn't any better feeling for us as just people. I mean, not necessarily a Christian, but even as anybody.
And the old saying is, there ain't no place like home, is there? No place like home. Amen. Well, we're going home one of these days. And as Squire Parson wrote in that song there, he talks about our home. But he says that I'm kind of homesick for a place that I've never been before. Amen? Isn't that kind of amazing to think about that? That you can be homesick, but it's somewhere that you've never got the opportunity to go before in your life. But yet now, hey, you've got a desire to go there. You got to want to, because you know you've got something on going over there. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning, please. Let's look, if you will, in the book of 1 Kings. Won't you look in 1 Kings chapter number 17? And most of you, if you're a Bible reader, go ahead, Brother Larry. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Amen. What about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Boy, be ready to give an answer of that hope that lieth within every one of us. And we certainly have that opportunity. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Go ahead, Brother. Yeah. 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 Right. Never been there. Yeah.
But also what I go to is the people that I love.
Yeah.
The people that we worship with, we shout with, we cry with.
Yep.
Now it's not by faith anymore, it's by sight for them. You're not that.
Right.
But you said, my son said, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to act.
Yeah.
I know how I act here sometimes. Sometimes
yeah.
But you could imagine seeing Jesus.
Yep.
Right before you.
Yeah.
How humbling.
Yeah. Humbling. Yeah. Right.
Man,
yeah.
I'm glad I'm saved.
Yeah.
If there was the time in my life I could care less.
Yeah.
They were the time in my life I didn't care about God. I didn't care about Jesus. I didn't care. All I cared about was. But the day that I got saved changed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what I wonder sometimes, brother, who's saved and who ain't saved.
Yeah.
Because when I got saved, God gave me a desire to find out more about Him.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That day that I got saved, there was a light that come out of me, come in me.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't you gotta know what I got. But the day that I got saved, it was like I was enlightened.
Yeah.
And when we think something about heaven, it comes back to the day that I got saved. Every time, Brother Steve,
yeah.
It enlightened me, but I was in darkness.
Yeah.
And I got enlightened. I seen something I've never seen before. You know what that is?
Amen.
The testimony when I got saved, Brother Steve,
yeah.
I didn't know the Bible.
Right.
I didn't know
right.
Nothing about the Bible. I didn't know the Bible. All I knew, I was in a dark place.
Yep.
And the light turned on.
Amen. And something happened. Yeah.
Well, you know what's wrong with one of the things, church? We still live in darkness.
Yeah. God help us.
Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
The church is living in darkness. God gave an opportunity, Brother Steve, we've been doing testimony back here.
Uh-huh.
They've been tears, they've been snot, they've been snot.
You know why? Because
God's done something in their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love hearing good testimony.
Yeah.
I want God in it.
Yeah.
I want God in it.
Yeah.
But I love hearing good testimony.
Sure.
Somebody's life.
Amen.
Changed.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to
sit
down, Brother Steve, I was reading a little bit about Lois.
Yeah.
And his grandmother.
Yep. Eunice. Yeah. Yep.
That passed down generations.
Yep. It was.
Thank
All right.
I'll talk about his prayer for him. Don't you think a grandma and mom would sit down and pray for him too?
Yep.
Why? Because once they were in darkness, then the lights would come on their life.
Amen.
I've seen.
Amen.
You know what bothers me? Some people claim they're saved but never stand up for God. I don't get that. So everybody's different. If you say saved, you're saved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody
saved
anything.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like to say, not only church, but outside the church.
Yeah.
At the job site.
Yeah.
At Walmart. Everybody's saved.
Amen.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
Also, I'm saved. Are you a
Amen.
Life?
Yeah.
I was a prisoner. Now I'm a prisoner of God. I was a prisoner of faith before.
Yep.
Do you know the difference? That's why I get excited.
Amen.
That's
why
I go on. Yeah. But guess what? One day, I don't have to go by that.
Right.
I get to see him.
Eye to eye. Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to be like. I love Roswell now. It used to be Rock Springs.
Yeah.
I love where I'm at because I'm saved.
Yeah. Bless you, brother. Yeah.
I don't have it. You ain't gonna miss it if you don't know about that battle.
All right.
But guess what? Sin ain't gonna
be there. Amen.
That's what I get excited
about. Yeah.
What
yeah. All right.
I'm sure to God, it's sin.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, man, that hurts.
Amen. Yeah. You're right.
You struggle with
it too? Sure. Everybody in here does.
I was kidding. A young lady back there a while ago, I called her a heater. She shaking her hand. She's like me. We're heathers.
Yeah. It may.
I don't know. I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm saved.
Amen. Ain't you glad you're saved? Amen. Yeah, you ought to be. Anybody else got a word testimony this morning? Well, that's what the Lord wants to do. Amen. Anybody else? All right. If not, let's look in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Look in 1 Kings chapter number 17. As I say, most of us know this story. We've read it and we've heard about it, and the Lord has got a man, and his name is Elijah. And you're introduced to him in verse number 1. We're told that he is Elijah the Tishbite. And we see how rugged and how rough and how uncouth and unnoticeable, I guess, to the world that he is as far as being somebody or of any wealth or fame or notoriety, but he's God's man. Amen. And God uses him to call the children of Israel to a place of repentance. And in doing that, God tells him to pray, and he has prayed that there won't be any kind of rain on the face of the earth for 3.5 years. That's what God told him to do. So he has done that. And now the place is in the whole land, the whole area is in a place of drought. And in verses number 2-7, you see where God begins to take care of him. He sends him to a place and God feeds him. He feeds him with bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he had water there to drink because he was by a brook. And as he's there, things begin to change. The circumstances begin to change. Now, don't you look in verse number 8, and it said, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, today for blessing us. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the songs and the testimonies and all the things that you're doing. I pray right now, would you prepare somebody's heart to hear the word of God, and I break up that hardness, break up that place that is fearful, break up that place that has some doubt, some question. Would you just put the word of God in there and let it sprout, bring forth, and do something in their lives today and save them from their sins. And God, call others that just need a stirring and a moving by the Holy Spirit of God. Would you do that this morning? And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for everything you do today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look here at this little widow woman, and I want you to think with me today, maybe just on this thought. God's plans still work. God's plans still work. The plans of God have and always will be in effect and be effective as they begin to work. Amen? Now, you know, many times when I read this story and you read the story, I mean, we can read it and we see what happens and how it happens and what happens at the end. We got every bit of that. We go, okay, well, got that figured out, preacher. But can I tell you, put yourself in that place where Elijah was, where you don't know what's going to happen, and let's see how that begins to develop for me and you. I'm here to tell you, as I said, God's plans still work. God's got some plans today. God's got a plan for every person. Maybe there's 50 or 60 or around. How many there are of us here today? God's got a plan for every life that's in this building. And can I tell you, God's plans still work. God's still doing something in the hearts and lives of His people. He's doing something in the hearts and lives of those that He's calling to Him, to draw Him to them, to save them from their sin. God's plans still work. Even though you and I don't understand them many times, even though we can't figure it out many times, man, God's plans still work. God's plans still work. So let's look at that with that little thought in mind. And notice this first of all, in this idea, I want you to notice God's plan in preparation. God's plan in preparation. God's doing something here in the beginning of this thing, and He's preparing His servant Elijah. He's preparing a widow over in the land of Zarephath, and He's preparing a situation and a scenario for their life here for the next little while. Now again, think about this. They're living in a day, and Elijah has prayed, and God has heard and answered him, and there's no rain in the land. There's no rain. Boy, aren't y'all glad we got some rain this year? Amen. I know we watch the weather all the time, me and her trying to figure out, you know, what you can do and what you can't and all that. But with it here recently, or in the recent past, we had a lot of times they get on there and say, we're in a drought. We're close to drought. We're close to extreme drought. I mean, it's dry. It's, you know, we need rain and blah, 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 blah. And you're over here praying for rain. Well, God has seen fit and brought that. But if you'll think about it, you remember them days you went out there and you mowed your grass, and I mean, dust, just that's all there was just old dust and dirt flying up in the air, and it just covered everything. And you say, man, it's dry and dusty and it's dead, and your crops wouldn't grow, your grass looked dead. I mean, there you were trying to put a little garden out, and if you didn't have some kind of watering system or some way to do it, all of that stuff would die, wither, blow away. It was gone. It's tough days. Well, these folks are going through it, and the Bible tells us the Lord said it was going to be like that for 3.5 years. Now, again, think about it. That's where they are. And this, believe it or not, is part of God's preparation in the plan that He is bringing forth. God has brought Elijah to a place by the creek, the little water stream there called Kereth. He's brought him there, and he's been feeding him, and he's been drinking of that water out of the brook. But one day, the Bible says, the brook dries up. Can I tell you, stuff happens even in the child of God's life where sometimes God said, I want you to get up and move. I've been supplying. I've been doing. But now, I want you to go somewhere. I've got another plan. I've got a further plan. That I want you to go where I'm going to send you. And the Bible says here that, you know, here's Elijah, and the water's run out there in that brook. In verse number 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. I mean, just a natural consequence of that, right? He's the one that prayed. Here the rain's gone. So he's sitting there, and God said, get up and move. Look what he tells him. The word of the Lord came to him and said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Look at that real crazy picture with me just for a minute, if you will. I want you to know, first of all, that Elijah is going to a strange place. Now, you say, well, I don't understand too much about Bible geography. Well, Zarephath, that belongeth to Zidon, was an area, and right now in the day that they're living, the most famous citizen that came from there was a lady by the name of Jezebel. Her daddy was a ruler in the land, and they had made an alliance between Zidon, or we call it Sidon in the New Testament, Zidon, and Israel with Ahab and the king of that country, and he wound up marrying the king's daughter, Jezebel. Everybody knew Jezebel. Everybody in here, y'all probably know Jezebel, don't you? My mama knew Jezebel pretty well. She'd see women out here, she'd say, look at that old Jezebel there. I mean, if you was Jezebel, you wasn't doing too good. Usually thought of somebody all painted up, somebody all mouthy and loud, and somebody say amen right there about that. But hey, that's what you thought about Jezebel, right? Well, they knew who she was. And isn't that a strange place? God said, look, I want to send you right over here to where your greatest enemy, at least Ahab the king, his wife, was going to be the greatest enemy that Elijah had here just coming up real short. I'm going to send you over to where she's from. Well, wait a minute, Lord, that don't look too good. If I go over there and they know who I am and they know who she is, they'll probably try to kill me. He said, don't worry, I've got it set up. I got a plan. I'm telling you, don't you ever question where God sends you because you got it all figured out. Well, God, that won't work because I know what goes on over there and I know how that works and I know that ain't good. And God said, don't you worry, I've got that in my plan. You think God didn't know where she came from? You think God didn't know who she was? You don't think God knew what he was doing when he sent him? He sent him over to a strange place. But not only did he send him to a strange place, he sent him over kind of a strange person, didn't he? A strange person. You know what he did? He said, I've got a little widow woman over there, and I've commanded her to sustain thee. God, in case you ain't looked, we're in a bad place of drought right now. And you're going to send me to a poor widow woman that ain't got nothing in her house, and she's going to take care of me? I thought you'd probably send me over to a king's palace. I thought you'd probably send me over there where the money is. I thought you'd send me to somebody that can do a whole lot more than some poor widow. But the Lord said, wait a minute, I got it under control. He sent him to a strange person. As a matter of fact, look at that. When he gets there, what is it? She's out there trying to gather just a few little sticks so she can make a fire in her stove, cook one last little bit of bread. Her and her son was going to eat it. Then they're going to sit around and wait on the time to die. Wow, send me over there. Right? Isn't that what you're thinking? That's a strange person to send them to. Well, I'm just telling you, God knows exactly what he's doing. He sends him to a strange place. He sends him to a strange person. And you know what? He sets him in place for a strange kind of test. I mean, here it is. I mean, the man's there. And he tells that woman, he said, "You go. I want you to go get me a drink of water." And there she goes. He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "While you're going, I want you to know something. I believe through every bit of this that God was speaking to all of those parties involved. I believe God had talked to Elijah. I believe God had talked to that widow in some way. I don't understand it exactly, but I believe God was right there in the middle of every bit of that strangeness." And he said, "I want you to go fix me a cake of bread. Just fix me a little bit of bread." She said, "Well, can I tell you a news flash? I ain't got enough. I was planning on making just a little bit of bread, and me and my son was going to fix it. And then that's it. We won't have anything else." He said, "Well, I'll tell you something." He said, I'll tell you, you can believe in the Lord God of Israel. You can trust Him. If you go fix me a piece of a cake first, a piece of bread," he said, "then you fix for you and your son, and I'll tell you, everything is going to be all right." Amen? And you know what? This woman had enough faith. This woman had enough obedience that she got ready and went and did what the man of God asked her to do. She went in and she began to cook. And she made him a little cake. I don't know that Elijah was that hungry. He might have been. I don't know. We're not told necessarily that he was hungry. I believe he's just checking out her obedience. I believe God was checking out his obedience. Well, you think about this situation, Elijah. Well, if you sent me here, it must work. Hey, and that woman said, "Well, if God sent him here and he told me to do it, I'll do that and let's see how it works out. Can't get much worse than what it is. Thank God, only can get better." Amen. Well, you know what she did? She went in there and baked him a little bit. And then she's still able to fix something for her and her boy. Amen? And you know what? Hey, God passed that test, and they passed the test. They both remained in a place of obedience unto the Lord. So, first of all, you just notice this, that it was God. God had a plan, and his plan was in preparation. But second of all, let's look at God's plan in operation. God's plan begins to operate and things begin to happen. Do you notice what it says there when this thing begins to operate? It says that Elijah tells her, said, "I want you to do this. Go make me a cake and, you know, whatever." But look what he said in verse number 13. And Elijah said unto her, look what he says, "Fear not." God's plan in activation. When God's plan gets to operate in its operation. Hey, I want you to know, God's plan and operation says it, fear not. Don't get shook up over what you think. Don't get shook up over what you see. Don't get shook up over circumstance or what's before you. Don't let that deter you from following God. Can I tell you today, that's one of our biggest problems. We really depend on what we can see. Preacher, have you looked at my bank account? Yeah, well, let me tell you, God can take care of that. He's done it for years and years. There's times, I'll tell you, through the COVID thing, I was awful concerned about how our church was going to do during the time of COVID. And I know every other pastor, I've talked to them, and man, they said, "I bet we ain't going to have no money. We won't be able to support missions. We won't be able to make payments for this. We won't be able to pay the pastor." Can I tell you, God came through that thing with flying colors, amen? Amen. We never missed a mission payment. They never missed paying the pastor. They never missed paying the bills. Never, the power stayed on, the water flowed, everything, electricity, I mean, whatever had to go. Thank God it all got to. Who did that? Because if you look at it on paper, you say, that ain't going to work. But you know what? Hey, God's in control, and He's able to provide. Aren't you glad that's the way it works down at your house? Thank God this little lady right here said, "We don't have enough. There's not going to be enough." Amen. Y'all remember, we heard a fellow preach the other night. He's preaching about the little boy that brought his lunch out to Jesus, and somehow Jesus fed 5,000 folks with that little boy's lunch. He had that little bit of bread, had five little small barley loaves, he had two fishes, and the Lord fed 5,000. You know what you say? That doesn't make sense, preacher. It don't make sense to me either, but the Lord did it. Amen. How'd he do that? Oh, listen, the guy preaching the other night said, "Could you imagine? There's the Lord's got whatever it's in, if it's a bag or a basket or whatever, and he just keeps reaching in there and handing somebody, hand him some, just keeps reaching in there." I thought that, could you imagine that little boy? He's going, "Wow, I didn't know I brought that much. They fed 5,000 folks. You see that little boy go home? His mom said, son, had you have fun today? Mama, you ain't going to believe what happened. Well, you know that lunch you fixed me? I gave it to Jesus and he fed 5,000. Now, son, you better look out. Huh? You better look out. He said, Mama, I know it's hard to believe. He said, but look, I got a basket full of leftovers I brought back. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we serve a God that still can. He's the Lord over the little bit, and he's the Lord over the large craft. He's still God. He's still in control, y'all. He's still Lord. So here's this little lady here, and she's a widow. Now, you know, if you go look historically through your Bible, widows didn't have much. They were generally in a poor situation. And this lady had a son, but he was young. So he wasn't going to be too much help to her. I don't think she had a great bank account and a great amount of cash sitting around. I don't think she had very much anything. Because if she did, she'd got some more bread. But all she had was her oatmeal bar. Y'all remember that? Any of y'all got one today, or grandmas and grandma? My grandma used to have an oatmeal barrel. We used to love to play with that thing, didn't we? We'd go in there and we'd, you know, lift that lid and look in there, and Lord, dust fly everywhere, you know. We'd get in trouble. There was a sifter down in there. We'd get that sifter and sift that flour, and that was a lot of fun for us. A lot of headache for grandma, probably, but, you know, we could look in there, and sometimes you see it get low, and they'd buy whatever and throw in there. But when this woman went and looked in her meal barrel, it's low. Is down there. And I can remember seeing grandma at times when things would get down there kind of low, knock it off the sides and knock it down in there. Because sometimes it'd stick. I bet this little lady had gone in. I bet she'd looked down and she said, there ain't much in there. There ain't a whole lot. There's nothing. And she might have begin to bang on the sides and begin to bang on the top of it. Whatever. Let's knock it all out. But you know what? Every morning when she got up, you know how much was there? Just enough for that day. Now, Bible theologians say this. I don't know. We're not really given that. But they say that her and Elijah and her household ate out of that barrel for over a year. And every morning when she got up, I believe she said, what do y'all think is in there? And Elijah said, well, I believe there'll be just enough. And thank God there was that morning. There was just enough to fix more bread for the day. And when they come back on the morrow, there was just enough to fix more for the next day. I'm telling you, when God's plan starts its operation, hey, you don't understand it. You can't figure it out. You never will. But thank God, that's Him. Amen. You know, there's people all the time who say, well, preacher, explain to me about this and that. You know, they'll look at the miracles of the Old Testament, miracles of the New Testament. They'll say, explain that to me. I can't. If I did, I'd be as smart as God. And guess what? I'm not and you're not. We'll never understand it. That tells me that somehow God reaches down from His majesty and His glory in heaven. He reaches down here into our time and space, and He does some things we cannot understand. Amen? Yeah, somebody said, well, how did Moses get them people across the Red Sea? He must have found a real shallow part. I tell you what, if that's true, there's still a miracle. Because the entire Egyptian army drowned it in probably less than a foot of water. Amen. Now, I mean, either way you are. Hey, but I'm telling you, I believe God, just like He said, pushed them waters back on both sides and blew a wind through there that night, and the land got dry, and the children of Israel crossed on. And when the Egyptians said, well, if they can do it, we can do it, God said, boys, drop the water. And here it come on there and killed every one of them. Amen? How'd He do that? I don't know. That ain't my business. That's His. My business is to trust Him and to go forward. Just like yours is. We're to trust Him. This little lady didn't ask Elijah, said, well, how's he going? I don't believe I can. I'm doubting and I'm. He said, don't fear. I'm telling you, fear not, because he said, "For the thus saith," verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. This thing will not go empty. It will not waste. We won't lose any. It ain't going nowhere. And the cruse of oil shall not fail. It's not going to run dry. God will provide."
Amen.
Amen. You ever got there on Slim Pickens before? Amen. I mean, I can remember days like that. Some of you, many of you probably can. But you know what? God always supplied. Amen. And sometimes, I don't understand it. I don't get it. When I was in school, and I probably told y'all this before, but I had a guy that I worked for, and he wasn't no, you know, spiritual giant. And I don't even know if he's saved, really. A lot of times he'd talk a good talk about church, but I don't know. I went in there one day to work, and it was about time to go back to school, and I was going to have to buy books, and books was going to be several hundred dollars. And he said, "Come here in the office for a minute." And I went in there, and I worked regularly, and I worked hard, and I tried to be faithful to my job. Went in there, and he looked at me, and he said, "How much are your books going to be?" And I told him, you know, whatever it was. He sat down. He started writing a check. He stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't even know why I'm doing this." He said, "But don't tell anybody else, because I'm not doing it for any of the other guys that work here." He said, "But I'm paying for your books." Woo! That's all I could say. I'm just telling you, God does stuff like that. And you tell me, and he's like, "I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't even understand why." Can I tell you, the Lord can take anything he wants to and move it anywhere he wants to do it, and he can get the job accomplished. Why? Because he's God. Amen? I mean, you can go back and you can see where God, I mean, God told Nehemiah, "I want you to build." And Nehemiah's like, "Well, how am I going to do it? I ain't got no." He said, "You just go ask the king. I'm working on his heart. He's going to give you everything you need." He went to the king. King said, "Well, how long is this going to take?" He set him a time. If you'll look in the book of Nehemiah, he set him a time. And he said, "Okay." He said, "King, I might need." He said, "What do you need?" He said, "I'll give you the papers. You can get all the wood, all the stones, all of the workmen, everything you need. You got it." How did that happen? Because God spoke and moved on that king's heart. And we don't understand it sometimes. But I'm telling you, God is still able to operate. The operation of God's plan. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to be like the men were that were in the boat with Jesus when Jesus calmed the waters and the waves quit dashing into the boat and the wind stopped and all that. You ought to, it said, and they were sore amazed. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas do obey him?" We ought to stand still sometimes and, brother, just look up and say, "Woo, thank you, God. That was God," right? That was God. That's the operation of God's plan. I'm glad that when I look at this, I see that Elijah never really had a question. You know why? God had already been prepping him. He had him out there sitting on a soft space and near a brook and was feeding him. He brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. But did you notice who brought it to him? The Bible said God used the ravens. Now, ravens are not the kindest birds in the bush, are they? And they're not the cleanest. And we don't, but somehow, and I heard one old preacher say this, I believe the king would get ready to eat in the morning, and the baker would set his bread on the windowsill to let it cool a little bit, and a raven would fly in there and grab a whole loaf. And he'd fly away, and he'd see down there where Elijah was. He'd fly down there and just drop it off. Say, "Here you go. God sent you some again this morning." Amen? Huh? I believe that's the way that it happens. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I can't explain it. I told you the story about George Mueller had a big orphanage, and he was feeding kids every day. They got up one morning, he went to the kitchen staff, and they said, "Mr. Mueller, we don't have anything to eat. We have nothing to fix with. Cupboards are bare. We don't have." He said, "Get all the kids together." Got all the kids together. They got into the big dining area. They were sitting there. He said, "Children, we don't have anything to eat right now, but God will provide." He said, "Let's bow our heads and pray." And they all began to pray. Brother Mueller began to pray for those kids, and he began to pray for God's supply. And then when he got through, They heard a knock at the door. Went to the door, one of the staff, and they said, Mr. Mueller, you need to come see about this. There was a man at the door, and he said, sir, he said, I'm a baker, and I have had my cart has broken. I've headed to town to sell my wares, but my cart is broken down, and there's no way I can make it into town this day. And without, it's going to take work to fix it, and I'm afraid it'll spoil. Would you folks like some bread? And, brother, they had bread to eat that day. What I'm telling you is, man, you just can't outwork God's plan. You won't understand it. You can't figure it out. You can't put anything of yourself into place of it. Hey, brother, all you can do is just believe what God says to do. Amen? You see that God's plan in operation. But then I want you to see this. God's plan in a declaration. Now, if you remember the story, God begins to supply, and we read it there, how that they did eat, it says, many days. And then beyond that story, we learn that this widow had a little boy, that her son fell sick. In verses 17 on down through the end of the chapter. And you see the story how that Elijah is there. And she goes and tells him, you know, my boy's sick. And, and it looks like he's died. And Elijah says, you just leave me alone with him. And Elijah takes that boy and God brings him back to life. He stretches himself, he prays, and God touches that boy, and he comes back to life. And if you look down there about verse number 23, it said, then, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother, and Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Boy, when you see God's plan has a declaration. It can be declared, this is God's plan, this is God's way, and I'm telling you, even those that are not sure can understand and come to faith. Amen? And that's the point of this whole thing, isn't it? When you see those things happening, I mean, do you see those little words she said, by this? I know. Having seen what I've seen. Can I tell you, when I begin to see God do stuff in other people's lives, you know what I say? That's God. Amen. When you begin to see God answer prayer, that's God. Hey, when you begin to see God move and act in some way, can you just throw your hands up and say, praise God, that's you, Lord. I know it was you. Amen. Amen. Right. Hey, that's what declaration needs to come from me and you. We need to declare to this world that he is our God. Amen? I mean, you know what Paul told Timothy over in his writings to Timothy? He said, be not ashamed of the Lord, nor of me, his servant. Don't be ashamed of the testimony that we've got. Man, don't be ashamed. Just stand up and declare he's God. Amen. And that's what this world needs to hear today. There are sinners today that need to know he's God. There are saints that need to know he's God. And certainly there's some servants that need to know he is God. Are you ready to declare that today? Are you ready to come to a place in your life and say, I know. Amen? I know. You know what Paul told Timothy in that same area where he's telling him, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord himself. He said, for I know whom I have. And I'm persuaded that he's able to do to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Aren't you glad God knows you? He knows who you are. He knows what's going on. And he knows how to handle every situation in your life. Now sometimes, as the old song we used to sing says, I may not know how and I may not know when, but I know he'll do it again. Amen. Aren't you glad we got that kind of God this morning? There's somebody here this morning. Somebody's lost. You need him to save you. There's somebody here, you're burdened and you're troubled and you're mixed up and you feel like a failure. You feel like things have turned out in a wrong way. You just need to come and bring those things to Jesus. Amen? I mean, the old songwriter said, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. There's no other sister, friend, or brother, but just bring it and tell it to Jesus alone. Amen? While we get ready to sing a song, Brother Ron, if you would, come on, we'll get ready. Maybe there's some of you here and you just need to come. The old song says, I must tell Jesus. He's the only one that can understand. You need to tell Christ Jesus. Hey, you know what you need to tell him? I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I've got a burden and I don't know how to care. I've got some problems and I don't know what to do with it. I just don't know, Lord. I'm kind of like that little widow woman. I'm just kind of barely treading water and I don't know what I'm going to do. Thank God I'm glad somebody that does know what to do. Amen. He can take somebody else and bring them into your situation. He can do some supernatural things and come into your situation. He can do whatever it takes, and he'll operate in your situation on your behalf for his honor and glory. Do you see that? That's what came out of this. That lady said, now I know. Now I know. Can you do what you do and point people to the Lord in it? Will it point to the Lord in what you... That's what God's wanting to do, is get some glory and show that there is a Father, a God in heaven that still hears and answers prayer. Let's stand, if you would, this morning. What page you got, Brother Ronnie?